arrived at Stitchelton Dairy near Worksop, and I've sat down at this fantastic desk, and I'm having a cup of coffee with Joe. Joe, can I ask what's the sort of origin as I got here, I sort of wondered, how does an American end up in the British countryside making cheese?
Well, we moved to Europe about 10 years ago, and that's when I got into cheese making. I was an American living in Holland making Greek cheese for a Turk. And when I got into making cheese, and I thought, oh, I'd really like to give that a go. If you look around, it was the Brits that were doing the best job. So I came here in 1998.
And what's the sort of start of Stitchelton cheese? Was it already going when you got here, or is it something you've sort of used? Did you get involved at what point?
We started it about 5 years ago. It's a new project. So we're partners with Neil's Yard Dairy in London, and they are cheesemongers, and they sell British farmhouse cheeses.
Yeah, because interestingly, we were talking about this, that it's quite... It's good in the sense that you can get this cheese online anywhere in the country now. So the a wide range of British cheeses, and that it's got very, very fashionable. So what sort of level did you start at with the cheese making?
What sort of level?
Yeah, how many cheeses?
Well, our plan was to do like 30 tons, which might sound like a lot, but it's not. And this year we made about 46 tons. So we've been in it for 5 years now. We're almost at capacity in terms of what we can do in this building, what we can do with the number of cows that we've got on the farm. So I think that's pretty much our limits.
And how many cows do you have on the farm?
Well, there's about 130 that they're milking.
And do you know any of them personally? Do you have favourites, or are they just a general herd?
Personally, you mean like in the biblical sense?
Well, I always think there are cows that stand out in the herd as being the leaders, or particular ones that have been with you a long time that become favourites.
Mm. You have to ask Mick, the herdsman. He knows them quite intimately. Because they're organic, and they set up a little pecking order in the dairy, and you do have certain ladies that want to go through first and get milk first, and they usually get their way. So he knows all their quirks.
And I was just going to ask you, where did you originally get the cows from? Were they local cows, or are they a particular breed?
Well, see, we joined the farm. There's been a farm here for 200 years. This herd here has been closed and organic for 12 years.
And do you find that the milk changes according to the season?
Oh, definitely. So one of the reasons for doing the project is we wanted to make a cheese that... brought back the splendor of a very famous blue cheese made in this area that has not been made from raw milk since the 1980s. So when you make cheese with raw milk, you tend to get more complexity, more flavor, better textures. So when we decided to do this project to make a raw milk blue in Nottinghamshire, you have to find a farm where you can get the quality of milk that you want, and it only comes from one farm. So other famous makers of this blue cheese, they pool their milk.
Right.
So any seasonal variation that you get is mitigated, because what's high and low in one farm's milk will be cancelled by the other farms, because they might be pooling 600, 700, 100 farms' milk.
Yeah.
We only take milk from one farm, so we get all the seasonal variation that goes with it, what they're eating, how they're grazing, and what happens to the milk during the year is that the fats and the proteins will change, the characteristic of the milk has to change. And it's our job as cheesemakers not to try to smooth that out, but to ride it and change our cheesemaking recipe with it, so you get seasonal variations. We don't try to get rid of those variations, we're trying to make an example of them.
I suppose in many ways it's like making wine. I mean, each year your wine has slightly different notes to it, and yet it's still the same wine, it's still the same grapes, but it changes. And can you taste any significant difference in the cheese, or is it because your project is identifying particular elements. So is there a wide variety or is it quite a small variation?
No, it's wide variety. And your analogy with wine is pretty good, but wine is generally a harvest. So you've got one harvest. Yeah. We harvest milk every day. So the changes are much more pronounced. You're talking about it with wine year on year. We're talking week on week going into the summer, spring, autumn. And you get huge variations. So, for instance, this summer, the milk didn't have enough fat, so the cheeses were very dry and hard, and they took a lot longer to mature. They were more acidic, kind of brighter. Big differences.
That's quite a task to manage that. So how are you hoping that this research project at Northampton University will help you?
Well, the research is very interesting. I mean, the reason that we did this project anyway is you're trying to resurrect a traditional style of cheese making that's extinct. Raw milk blue. I can't say it for legal reasons, but what we're trying to do is make a raw milk blue that has all the characteristics of the farmhouse raw milk blues made in the, well, for the last 150 years in these counties. And to understand that takes a lot of, you have to pick apart what's happening on a microbiological level.
Sorry, can you say that again?
Yeah, you have to understand what's happening on a microbiological level. So you've got a very complex interplay of bacteria, yeasts, and molds, and they can come from three different sources. Mm-hmm. What you put in there on purpose, your starters, what's in the milk already, mm-hmm. because we don't pasteurize, so it remains in the milk, and then what comes from the environment. And all of those things interplay to give you flavors, textures, the amount of bluing. Mm-hmm. Okay, but we can't look at that in detail like the university can, the researchers. They're going to pick it apart and try to give us an idea of, you know, what makes a really nice blue cheese, what inhibits the blue, what comes from the raw milk that gives us the flavors we want, what might come and give us flavors that we don't want. So it'll be very, very interesting to see.
And is there a lot of factor in the outside environment? I read somewhere that some of the molds and things within the building itself will be particular to a cheese.
Yeah, I can't speak for the researchers, but having a discussion with them, preliminary results, they found a microflora, we'll call it, so this is the whole class, of in pasteurized milk cheeses that didn't come from the milk and didn't come from the additives. So they must be coming from the environment. Very interesting. How are they getting in the cheese? So your caves, how you're ripening them, all of that will give you a distinctive cheese. And it certainly shows up on the coat. When you look at a traditional made cheese, it has a rind on it, a coat. And that will express the environmental flora of that region. And I've heard anecdote, you know, old boy stories that at cheese shows, you can look at these cheeses, mm-hmm. and say Stilton, for example, you mm-hmm. could look at a Stilton and tell where it comes from just by the coat.
Yeah, I can believe that. Mm. So I think what we ought to do is we ought to finish our coffee and we'll go downstairs and have a look in the dairy.
Yeah.